Reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, which can be found on page 1063 in the Pew Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Preach from John's Gospel, chapter 1, which is, of course, a great privilege, as I hope you will sense as we all listen this morning, to underline our very important activity through February, A Heart for Hospitality. Richard, thank you for speaking so clearly on that. We'd love everyone here to sign up. It's a good way for you to get to know us. And regular members, if I can speak plainly and simply to you, if you've not signed up, we really do need you to sign up today so that you can be friendly and hospitable to our many visitors we have to this lovely parish church. Indeed, that Christ can be fully known by us all. I happen to like reading, and of course it's one of my great tasks as a preacher to encourage people to read the Bible. So I will be asking you to think about that, particularly John's Gospel. But I came about it by another route today when I was caught unawares, browsing in a local bookshop. I happened to be in the post office, and I couldn't help but notice the array of books all together, advising people on life. And they were a very good selection of books. You could be a better cook, you could be a better husband, you could be a better wife, you could be a better business person. And there are all sorts of tips and tricks to make all this possible. I'd better not go down the route of it's been proven that people that buy those sorts of books tend to be repeat offenders and keep buying them because they don't actually get the answer. But to be more kind and gentle, there are some really good tips and tricks in those books for finding more about how to live a better life. But as I surveyed the titles and some of the chapter headings, I thought to myself, all of these things are applied to in the Bible. And of course, what they don't mention explicitly, but the Bible does, is God. There's a remarkable story of Vic Jacobson. I don't know if you know the character. I had the privilege of working alongside him for a number of years, who wrote a book, From Prison to Pulpit. And in his prison days, he was reading the Bible, particularly John's Gospel. And as he read it, his kind of life got turned around. Now, I'm not suggesting we've got convicts here. I got to the pulpit by another route, not by a prison, you might be relieved to know. But I am frankly depressed and saddened by how few people have even bothered to read part of the Bible, and the most particularly the most famous gospel of all, the Gospel of John. Because at the end, John writes of his purpose in the whole matter. These things are written that you might have life. So that when you're a cook, when you're a husband, when you're a business person, I looked at Michelle Obama's book, and this whole language of empowering the disadvantaged. And it's become a bestseller, and you can now buy a diary with quotes from her. And great, that's fine. But also have a go at reading John's Gospel, where you can find out how to empower and liberate people, not just for life, but with God and for God. So please, without further ado, before I reflect with you, please have a go at reading John's Gospel. These things are written that you might have life and have it in his name. John's Gospel, chapter 1, starts off with a reflection upon the immortal God that we find in Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus Christ is not just a founder member of one of the religious sects in our world today. Jesus Christ, so the Bible declares, is God. Fact. Can't be removed. I'm sure you know the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Jesus Christ is immortal. He won't be removed. Nothing can shake him. He is God. Try this sometime. I've tried it myself, and it came upon a group of us who were reflecting one day about a whole cascade of life's problems or difficulties in the world. And we reflected, if only we realized that there was a God, and we allowed him to be God, then perhaps we would calm down and the world would be a better place. Sometimes I think I don't need to mention my second and third points. We probably should stop there. In the beginning, Jesus Christ was there. And there are all sorts of forces at work which will try and convince us that it is otherwise. But Jesus Christ is God. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. My second point is not just that Jesus is there as immortal. Jesus is there as incarnate. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, this immortal God, became flesh and dwelt among us. It's not the problems with the China virus that has got to me this week. It's not the terrible plight of all that's happening in Australia, or the spot of bother that's going to carry on our news screens with Harry and the Queen and the royal family. The one my eyes alighted on was a documented evidence from the full body of psychiatrists that are asking for the tech companies to release the data as to why and how it is that all sorts of addictions can happen with the phone, with social media. The number of problems that are rising in our world, they are saying, is getting out of control. And in order that humanity can be unzipped from problems, they are asking to know the problems from the inside, what's caused it. Algorithms, processes that subtly get us hooked and addictive, spiraling out of control. End of soapbox. The point is this: if you want the algorithm for how you work, how you best do life, how you can cope with addictions, large or small, you need someone who fully understands you. The psychiatrists are saying now they can't get their head round it. There is someone, immortal, invisible, God only wise, who has inhabited, not just gotten in our heads, but has lived in our bodies, the Word made flesh. Okay, Jesus doesn't have to deal with the stock market. He might not worry about his pension. He might not struggle getting children to bed. He might not struggle knowing what to do when he puts the phone down. But he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and tempted and stressed as every way that we are. all for the sake of the immortal God becoming incarnate, inhabiting us from within, so that we can feel, if the penny drops, that he gets you, that he understands all the algorithms and the problems of your personalities and the struggles in life that you wouldn't even dare to tell a psychiatrist, let alone a vicar or even a best friend. You are loved and cared for by someone who is immortal. He's inhabited. The Word has become flesh. And these things are written that actually the penny will drop, and you can believe that and have life in his name. The immortal God, the incarnate God in Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, Jesus who inhabits, who indwells within us. And so it's there in verses 12 and verses 13 of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 unfolds and unpacks all that will happen later on. And so you can discover how this can be the case. And so those who believed in him, and then it explains what believing means. It doesn't mean going to church. It doesn't mean going to church and saying a few words. It says, if you believe in him and you receive him, somehow the immortal God who is incarnate needs to be inhabited in your heart. And when you sense that takes place, you will find that you are born not of human descent, mum and dad, but born of God, because God is inhabiting your life from within. The key question has to be, has that happened? And if it's happened, how are you keeping that life alive? Vic Jacobson went to prison to find out. Don't let it get that bad. Hey, just have a read. God, if you're there, I guess I do need to slow down and stop and think about that. Just show me. You must understand the Word became flesh, and then he can dwell within my personality and within my life. And for those of us who have known that life within, it's probably more important than cooking, probably more important than anything else that happens at home, probably more important than your pension, probably more important the way you send your children to school. But here's the thing. If that life does get stoked up within you and starts to inhabit you and burn brightly, can't promise you'll be a better cook, but you're a better person. Might help you cook better. Might not forget to brush your teeth. You know what I mean? His life will start to inhabit your life, and you and Jesus are better you than you on your own without Jesus. These things are written that the vicar can have life, that the eager beavers in the church can have life. No, these things are written that you can have life and have it in its fullness. What's not to like? Moment's quiet before I lead you in a prayer. Don't forget to sign up for this hospitality thing. It'd be a great chance to just meet others and chat about it. If you fancy to read something this morning, you've got John's Gospel. But I've written a little booklet I'd be glad to give you for free so that you can start to seriously think about these things. And if you're in my company week by week and you're suddenly thinking, oh, do you know what, life's got too busy, I need to think more about this, you'll know what to do. Read, chat, open your heart to God that his wonderful life can inhabit you. He's immortal. He's incarnate and wants to indwell all that we are and do. We pray together. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, and so I gladly receive you now by faith. Help me to discover in my heart and in my life all that your life means. We thank you for our immortal, incarnate, and indwelling God, Jesus Christ. in whose name we pray. Amen.